Amen. Well, please take your Bibles, and if you'll turn with me at this time to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. We are following the story of Christ's birth through these opening chapters of Matthew's Gospel. As we learned last week, Matthew especially presents Jesus as Messiah and as King throughout his Gospel. That's the emphasis, Jesus as Messiah and as King. And so we've appropriately called our series The Birth of the King. And now last week, we looked at Jesus' genealogy, and today we come to his birth, the birth of Jesus Christ. So in Matthew chapter 1, I'm just going to read verses 18 through 21 as we get started. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? Matthew chapter 1, and beginning at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Well, dear God, as we look into your word now and these verses, I pray, Lord, we would learn and benefit from the amazing teaching you've given us concerning the birth of Jesus into our world at Christmas. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Well, we're going to talk about the birth of Jesus in just a moment, but first I want to tell you about another birth. And no, it's not even my granddaughter this time, okay? I know I've been excited about that, but I want to tell you about our oldest son, Ramon. Ramon is our firstborn son. Ramon was born on a Friday, September 27th, 1991, at 3:08 in the morning. And this was in the days before internet and email and Facebook. And so we had to send out our birth announcements the old-fashioned way. You actually had to put them in an envelope and bring them to the post office and send them out through the mail. And we'd already pre-designed an announcement on the computer. We just left blank spaces for the baby's name, for the date of birth, weight, length. And, of course, the announcement, it just said, "It's a..." And then we're going to fill in, "It's a boy" or "It's a girl." We'd also gone out and we'd stocked up on blue paper and pink paper, so we were ready either way. And so around 6 a.m. that morning, about 3 hours after Ramon was born, I left the hospital. I swung by our house. I printed out a bunch of birth announcements on blue paper. We had the blue paper ready. Stuffed them into pre-stamped and pre-addressed envelopes. Dropped them off at the post office on the way back to the hospital. The post office delivered them that morning. We couldn't believe it. We were getting calls at 11 in the morning saying, "I just got something in the mail saying Ramon was born 6 hours ago or 8 hours ago. He was born this morning. How is that even possible?" Well, you see, we were so excited about Ramon coming into the world. We wanted to announce his birth to everyone. And we wanted them to know as soon as possible. For us, this was the birth announcement of the year. And in our passage from Matthew this morning, we also have a birth announcement. But this was not just a birth announcement for the year. This was a birth announcement for the ages. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, Matthew tells us, "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about." Now, the word Christ in that verse, that's the word that means Messiah. Remember, Matthew especially emphasizes Jesus as Messiah and King. So Matthew's saying, "Hey, I'm going to tell you how the birth of Jesus, who is the Christ, who is the Messiah, who is the promised Messiah, I'm going to tell you how that all came about." And one of the things you'll notice as we go through these verses is that Jesus' birth was miraculous. From start to finish, it was miraculous. This was no ordinary birth. It was a miracle of incarnation. It was a miracle of God's love for you and for me. God miraculously came to earth through Jesus to save us from our sins. And so this was indeed a birth announcement for the ages. If you'll take your worship guide and look inside, you'll find an outline of the message today. I encourage you to take that out. It'll help you to follow along. But you'll see our three main points there. We're going to talk about Joseph's dilemma, Joseph's dream, and then Joseph's decision. So how did Jesus' birth come about? Let's get started. It begins appropriately enough with a love story. Now look at verse 18 with me now. Matthew writes, "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit." Now, there were three steps to a Jewish wedding or marriage in those days. First, there was the engagement period. And that often began back when the children were, the spouses were still children, when they were young, as the parents would arrange the marriage, sometimes when the kids were still babies. So that was a pretty long period, a lot longer than engagements nowadays. Next came the betrothal period. And during the betrothal period, you were considered husband and wife legally. Even though you did not yet live together as husband and wife, even though you had no sexual relations with each other, betrothal was a legally binding relationship. It lasted an entire year, and it was a relationship which could only be broken by divorce. Very different from engagement. Engagement in our culture, sadly, sometimes engagements do get broken, but there's no divorce needed for that. You only broke a betrothal by divorce. So you had an engagement period, usually a very long period, betrothal, about a year. And then finally, after the year of betrothal, the couple would finally get married, right? And they would begin to live together as husband and wife. So here in Matthew chapter 1, we have a young couple. They are in their betrothal period. They've probably been engaged most of their lives, but now they've taken that next step of betrothal. They've made their upcoming wedding official. And even though they are not officially married yet, they are still considered by everyone as husband and wife. And of course, this should have been a happy time, right, of planning and preparation, anticipation. But suddenly something happens. Joseph is completely thrown off track. Matthew tells us that Mary was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Now, Joseph didn't know about the Holy Spirit part. All he knew was that Mary was found to be with child. That's a problem, isn't it? Now, you may remember from our study of Jesus' genealogy last week that there were a number of women included in that genealogy. Each of those women came from a questionable background. Suddenly, Joseph's whole relationship with Mary is thrown into question. And the big question, of course, here is this. Who's the father of this baby? Who's the father? Joseph knows it isn't him, right? Although that's probably what everyone else thought. They probably thought it was Joseph. Matthew tells us this happened before they came together, before they had any sexual relations. But if it's not Joseph, then who? Who is the father of this baby? And what was merely hinted at last week in the genealogy becomes very clear here. There is no father. Jesus has no human father. Mary is a virgin, and Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to look at three miracles around Jesus' birth today. Here's the first one. Jesus was born of a miraculous conception. God miraculously came to earth through Jesus to save us from our sins. Of course, Joseph doesn't know any of this, so what's he going to do? As far as he knows, Mary has been unfaithful to him. Because they were already considered husband and wife, this unfaithfulness amounted to adultery. Adultery was an offense that was punishable by death if Joseph chose to press charges. So Joseph was faced with a real dilemma here, wasn't he? And with the very limited information he had at hand, he makes the very best decision he can, considering the circumstances. Look at verse 19. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So Joseph was a righteous man, simply means he followed God's law. Now, if Mary indeed has been unfaithful to him before marriage, Joseph had every right to press charges. But you see, Joseph was not just a righteous man, he was also a good man. Yes, he upheld the law, but he also showed mercy. And he showed mercy to Mary here. He could have thrown the law at her. He could have thrown the book at her, but he didn't want to. He didn't want to expose her publicly. He didn't want to make an example of her. And so Joseph chose not to press charges against Mary. He chose not to have the big public court hearing. He loved her. He didn't want her to suffer any harm. He said, no, you know what? I'm just going to divorce her quietly. That means he would divorce her before the minimum number of witnesses, which would be two, very quiet, small gathering. He wouldn't press any charges. He would simply give her her written certificate of divorce and send her on the way. But that is when God intervened for the second time in the story, because an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. This was now the second miracle surrounding Christ's birth, the miracle of the angelic announcement. Once again, God miraculously came to earth through Jesus to save us from our sins. So the angel appears to Joseph in this dream and has two commands for him. Two commands. Here's the first one. You got to take Mary home as your wife. Look at verse 20. After he, Joseph, had considered this, divorcing Mary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. A couple things here. First of all, notice the angel addresses Joseph as son of David. This is key here. This means that Joseph is directly descended from David and that he is in the royal line of kings, just as we saw from the genealogy last week. Remember, Matthew began the genealogy by calling Jesus the son of David. Now the angel's words remind us that Joseph, Jesus' adoptive father, Joseph is also a son of David. And the angel tells Joseph what we already learned earlier in the passage, right? Mary's still a virgin. She's not been unfaithful. God has worked a miracle in her life. What is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Mary already knew this. The angel told her in advance. Now the angel tells Joseph after the fact what's taken place. And so this is a miracle birth, and it's beyond the miracle birth of Isaac in the Old Testament, really beyond any of the miracle births we have in the Old Testament, because God brought Jesus into the world without the help of a human father. Jesus' birth was all of God to show us that salvation is all of God. God brought it about through the Holy Spirit, and so it was also a holy conception in every way. And then we have the second command that the angel had for Joseph, verse 21. The angel continues, she, Mary, will give birth to a son. Joseph, you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, the name Jesus, that was a popular name for boys at that time. Well, you don't hear it a whole lot today, maybe Jesus, but you know, a lot of people don't name their sons Jesus, right? But it's the same name as the Hebrew name Joshua. They both mean the same thing. They both mean God saves. It's a salvation name. And so just think about every little Jesus or Joshua running around in Joseph and Mary's time, that was a daily reminder to them that God was a savior, that God had saved his people in the past, and that God would save them again in the future. Well, when Jesus came along, he would infuse this name with new meaning. Joseph is to give this boy the name Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. And so Jesus' name is great significance. It's a prophecy. It's a prophecy of what he will do. It anticipates the cross when Jesus would die for our sins. Now, the Old Testament spoke of a time when God himself would come and save his people from their sins. Psalm 130 says this, he, speaking of the Lord, he himself, God himself, will redeem Israel from all their sins. What the Old Testament said God would do, now the New Testament tells us Jesus would do. That's a pattern we find throughout the New Testament over and over again. We're told that what God does, Jesus does also. Jesus, as the Son of God, is truly God himself. Psalm 130 said that God would redeem Israel from all their sins. But now God's people would include everyone who puts their faith and trust in Jesus, both Jew and Gentile together. Remember, we learned this from the genealogy last week also. Jesus' genealogy included both Jews and Gentiles. It was a foreshadowing of his salvation of Jew and Gentile together. Jesus is a savior for all who believe in him. And then Matthew draws us all the way back to Old Testament prophecy to show us that this was God's plan all along. Let's go to the next verses, verses 22 and 23. Matthew writes, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." So here we have another name that is prophesied for Christ. But unlike the name Jesus, this is not a common name. He will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Only God can save from sins. And Matthew shows us that this child to be born is indeed both God and man. Matthew's quoting from the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14. This is a prophecy that was made more than 700 years before Jesus was even born. The original prophecy was made to one of the kings of Israel, King Ahaz. It spoke about deliverance in his time. And the prophecy instructed Ahaz, don't look for earthly help, but look to God alone for your deliverance. That was the message. But now we learn that this prophecy was going to be fulfilled in a greater way, and Jesus would bring about an even greater deliverance. Not a deliverance from foreign nations, but a deliverance from sin. So the prophecy of Emmanuel is not simply God with us as our helper. That's who he was to Ahaz. But God with us embodied in the very person of Jesus Christ. We find this elsewhere in the Bible. The Gospel of John tells us that Jesus was with God in the beginning and that he was God. With God, was God. And then John goes on to tell us that Jesus, who was with God in the beginning and was God, that Jesus, the eternal Son of God, became flesh and he made his dwelling among us. And so at Christmas, what do we really have happening here? At Christmas, Jesus went from being God with God to God with us. Isn't that amazing what God has done? Jesus was given two names at his birth, Emmanuel and Jesus. And these two names perfectly describe the person and work of Jesus Christ. Who is the person of Christ? He is Emmanuel. He is God with us, fully God, fully man. And what is the work of Christ? We find that in his name, Jesus. He is Jesus who will die on the cross to save his people from their sins. So this is now a third miracle in relation to Jesus' birth. We have the miracle of fulfilled prophecy. Once again, God miraculously came to earth through Jesus to save us from our sins. So first, Joseph had a dilemma. What should he do with Mary, right? Then he had a dream where God gave him two commands. Take Mary home as your wife. Name the boy Jesus. So now Joseph has a decision to make, doesn't he? You know, it was not an easy decision. See, if Jesus obeyed that first command by taking Mary home as his wife and obeyed that second command, naming Jesus, adopting him as his own son, Joseph was opening himself up to a lifetime of suspicion and ridicule. So what did Joseph do? Look at verses 24 and 25. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. And he took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. You know, when someone messes up at something today, we have a saying, right? We often jokingly say to them, we say, you had one job, right? Anybody ever say that to you when you mess up? They go, you had one job, one job. Well, Joseph had two commands from the Lord. And he did them both admirably. This was now the moment of decision, and Joseph decided to obey. You know, it's interesting. We never get to hear Joseph speak in the New Testament. You ever notice that? There are no words of Joseph recorded for us. But again and again, we see him respond in obedience to God's commands. And this very simple, direct, immediate obedience, this is a hallmark of Joseph's character. When God gives you a command, you also come to a moment of decision. And as with Joseph, God may ask you to do some things that will not be easy for you to do. But God's way is always best, and Joseph is a wonderful example of obedience for us to follow. So Joseph obeys command number one. He takes Mary home as his wife. They're officially married now, which means they could legally and morally begin having sexual relations. But Matthew tells us, nope. Joseph had no union with her until after she gave birth to Jesus. Some people teach that Joseph and Mary never had sexual relations. That's not what Matthew says here. The Bible tells us Jesus had brothers. He had sisters. Matthew doesn't say that they never had sexual relations. He says they only abstained until after Jesus was born. So Joseph obeyed the first command, took Mary home as his wife. And then after Jesus was born, he obeyed the second command. He named him and he gave him the name Jesus. And Joseph, by naming his son, at the moment that he gave that name, at that moment, Joseph became the legal father of Jesus. He adopted him and became his legal father, thus passing on to Jesus the legal right of kings through his own Davidic bloodline. Joseph was a son of David, and from now on, Jesus would be known as the Son of David. All because Joseph obeyed the angel, took Mary home as his wife, and named the boy Jesus. How did the birth of Jesus come about? It was a miracle. From first to last, it was a miracle. It was a miraculous in its conception. It was miraculous in the angel's announcement. It was miraculous in the prophecy that it fulfilled. As we close our time together this morning, let me just share with you three applications from our passage today, for us right now, right here today. Number one, absolutely stand in awe of our miracle-working God. Someone asked me this morning, before the service even started, they didn't know what we were preaching on today. They said, does God still work miracles today? I said, absolutely, absolutely. And what does our passage teach? If God can bring forth a child from a virgin, basically he can do anything, right? Nothing is impossible for God. And so you can trust him with all things in your life. That's point number one. Stand in awe of our miracle-working God. Number two, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, will you come to him today? Because what did we learn? Jesus came to save his people from their sins. That means if you want to be saved from your sins, what do you need to do? You need to become a part of God's people. Well, how do you do that? Not by coming to church. You do that by trusting in Jesus' saving work for you on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, he was paying the full price for all of our sins. The penalty has been paid. All you need to do is put your trust in him. He died for you so that your sins might be forgiven. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, will you come to him today? Then application number three, good news is for sharing, right? Got good news, you want to share it. God came to earth as a man to die on the cross for our sins. Folks, there is no greater news than that, okay? That tops everything. And people are more open at Christmas than any other time of the year to hear about Jesus or to respond to an invitation to come to church. So let me ask you, right here, right now, who will you share Jesus with this Christmas season? Maybe some of you don't even know yet. God's going to bring something up. But is there someone, a family member or a friend or a coworker or a neighbor that God's laying on your heart right now, a name, a face, a person? Who will you share Jesus with this season? Ask God to give you that person or more than one person and then look for that opportunity. Who will you invite to come to church with you to hear about Jesus? They're open. They want to be invited. They'll come. You can invite them to church on a Sunday morning or invite them to come to the children's musical tonight or the cantata or any of the Christmas activities we have here. But invite them, and more than likely they will come. You know, when our son Ramon was born, we sent out all those birth announcements. Why? Because we wanted everyone. We wanted all of our friends. We wanted all of our family to know about his birth. We wanted them all to know that Ramon was with us. But you see, Jesus' birth is for all people at all times. Jesus is Emmanuel. He is God with us. God miraculously came to earth through Jesus to save us from our sins. And his indeed was a birth announcement for the ages. Let us thank God. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for the gift of Jesus, the gift of your own son. Lord, when you gave him as a little child, you knew that you were also giving him as a man to die on the cross for our sins. Lord, you settled all of that before you even created the world. You know all things, and looking forward, you saw us, how we would fall into sin and how we would need a Savior. And you already planned the provision that you would provide for us through Christ. And so, Lord, we just thank you this morning. We worship you. We praise you. And we put our full faith and trust in Jesus. He is our Savior. He is the Son of God. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is Jesus, the one who's come to save us from our sins. Thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.